is Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming and archived at kfai.org. Always a breath of fresh air.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, enlighten you spiritually. Help me name it. I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. Cause you make me feel. You make me feel.
Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasha. You must act as if it's impossible to fail. Asante proverb. The truth is that we start from a position of success, no matter what happens, no matter what the appearance, we are always successful. The truth is that we have lessons to learn through our experiences. What appears as a failure is simply a stepping stone to realizing success. The truth is that we can do anything we focus our mind to do. What looks like failure teaches us what not to do, what does not work. It sends us back to the drawing board. It forces us to refocus and redo. All circumstances in the physical world are subject to change. The truth, however, is consistent. It never changes. The truth is that as long as we are breathing, we are one with God. God never fails. Our job is to act like we know. Affirmation. Victory is the stuff I am made of. That comes from the book Acts of Faith. Daily Meditations, Iyanla Vansant. Good evening. We are in the midst of our spring pledge drive here at KFAI. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for being such loyal listeners and supporters of KFAI for so long. As you probably already know, KFAI is amongst the nation's most unique and eclectic community radio stations. Like our much larger counterparts in public media, we risk the same scrutiny and vulnerabilities as an independent nonprofit organization with fewer resources. This time is probably more important than it has been in a long time in terms of community being under attack, differences being under attack. The only response that we can possibly have is to come together even stronger as community, even stronger in terms of the support of those things and those people who are doing the work that's so important for us to keep a hold of those things that are precious to us. And that's each other. That's each other in all of our sameness and in all of our differences. Fresh Air Community Radio never sleeps. We broadcast 24/7, 365 days a year, working tirelessly to deliver and maintain content on 7 platforms, sharing stories and celebrating the vibrant people of our community. We have several levels that you can donate at, and you can look online and see what those levels are. Whatever it is possible for you to donate, please do that. Go to kfai.org and hit the donate button. We will definitely acknowledge you. We appreciate you so much, as you're what makes this programming last, and that's why we've been going strong for so many years. You're what makes it happen. Thank you so much for your support. Again, go to kfai.org and hit the donate button. We have the pleasure this evening to talk to Lady J. We're talking about her new book, Root Wisdom, from the Elder's Circle. Lady J is a longtime host and producer at KFAI. She is inducted into the 2015 Minnesota Blues Hall of Fame. Jackie Maddox and her band, Lady J. Griot, and her Root Doctor work, Root Wisdom from the Elder's Circle. The story of the blues is the story of a culture, spiritual roots. If you listen closely to the lyrics, you'll hear the recipe or instructions for making African tribal religion work for you. On her radio show, Songs of the Soul, formerly Rolling and Tumbling, Lady J keeps the heritage alive, weaving history, ancestral magic, and the spiritual roots of the blues into a rich tapestry of songs, interviews, and live in-studio performances. As a vocalist and performer, Lady J, widely dubbed the High Priestess of the Blues, has performed at venues across Minnesota and the Midwest, spreading the gospel of the blues as a tribal shaman and orator. Lady J. Griot tells the history of the blues, lyrics, and how this vulnerable music is a remnant of ancient African spirit worship. Blues is the root sound of R&B, soul, funk, and jazz music. But it too has a root sound. The sound of the blues is the resonance of the tribal medicine, woman, or witch doctor, lowering the barrier between the material and world of spirit. The blues appears to many regardless of age, cultural background, or language, because it bridges the divide between all differences. There's a reason all cultures around the world use the color blue to describe the human soul, because blue is the color of transcendence. Blue is the color of healing. Blue is the color of the soul. And blue is the sound of the soul. Good evening, Lady J.
Good evening, Kinshasa. How are you?
I'm well.
Thank you for having me here.
I'm so glad to be here. And now I see why people say that we talk alike, because we definitely sound a lot alike.
We do. In fact, you had me listen to a little piece earlier, and I thought it was me talking, but it was you.
I absolutely love it. You know, there was something in that piece that really caught my attention. Why do you say that the blues are vulnerable, that this form of music is vulnerable? Why is it vulnerable?
Well, I don't mean vulnerable as in fragile or weak. I mean in the facet that it's cyclic. You know, once in a while, the blues will fall out of favor. Then it comes back into favor, and then it falls out of favor again. And in that way, it's vulnerable. But in reality, and it's a cliche, the blues will never die because it is the root sound to so much. Even the youngsters that are hip-hop artists or neo-soul or whatever their rap, whatever the genre is called these days, they have discovered that their music is rooted in their grandparents' music, which is the blues.
Isn't that interesting? And as we go back further with the blues origins are African?
Quite African, as a matter of fact. Now, being that I don't know where my family came from in Africa, I can only guess. And from what I've heard of the music from Mali, I believe that is the root sound of blues music. However, the sound that is the actual root basis of the music that we call the blues, it probably comes from all over Africa because it is the sound of the drum and the rattle. And that is a sound that is most African in its description, in its presentation, and in its usage, because it's the sound of the medicine man or medicine woman, the witch doctor, root doctor, whomever was the healer in the tribe. It's the music that any of the magic professionals used to lower the barrier in between the worlds so they could find their way back home again. That's what that sound. And it's really the heartbeat of the mother. And that's the sound that puts the medicine man, the shaman, the medicine woman into a trance so they can move on the astral and take care of the tribe's business and then find their way back home again. And what we know as the rattle, that shik, 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 that's duplicated by the cymbals of the drummer. In most indigenous tribes, they have a rattle. Shik, shik, shik. Its job is to protect that energy worker, that professional, is to keep evil spirits away so they can find their way back home, off the astral, and back into their physical body. KwaZulu kwafelu bobo KwaZulu kwafelu Kukali, tumbi geza, nguvuma, kukali, tumbi geza.
That was the one and only Miriam Makeba in her groundbreaking album, Sangoma.
That sound is African, but it's indigenous. And I want to emphasize that. With Africa probably being the home continent of the indigenous societies, but every indigenous people practice this. Whether you're talking Lapland, you know, Alaska, the Aborigine tribe in Australia, whether you're talking the first peoples here in America or the people in Africa, there's a similarity to that form of worship that is all about animism, which is the belief that everything has a soul, and ancestor worship. Those two components are the same all over this globe.
And the drum and the rattle.
And the drum and the rattle. Just depends on how they're used, but that's the intention all over the continent. One is to bring that energy worker, that magic professional, back home. It's their beacon, so they can always find their way back home. And the rattle is the protective device to keep evil or bad or the negative away from that person while they're out of their body. Mm. And on the astral.
Which is an a cappella indigenous group of women, which highlights the sameness of the music of all indigenous people, the rattle and the drum.
Support for KFAI comes from the Parkway Theater and Lounge, presenting Freddie Johnston, Sunday, March 1st. Singer-songwriter Freddie Johnston takes the Parkway stage with a deluxe edition re-release of his 1992 album, Can You Fly? Over his 35-year, 14-album career, Freddie Johnston's songs and performances have been synonymous with words like honest, genuine, and craft. Opening the show is Molly Mayer. More information about Freddie Johnston is available at theparkwaytheater.com.
Just a reminder that we are in the midst of our spring pledge drive. Your support is so critical right now. I think that, as you know as well as we do, this is a time like we've never seen before. And as community, we have to come together in ways that we haven't come together before. The beautiful thing about times like these is that it is through difficult times that we get stronger. Leaders emerge out of difficult times. You get senators like Cory Booker standing up for 24 hours, standing and talking about the things that he believes in and that makes sense to him. That same thing is true for us as a community and as community radio. KFAI is really one of the only community radio stations that is all community-led. Now is your time to show your support for KFAI. Go to kfai.org and hit the donation button. Your support, no matter what the amount, is crucial to keeping our programming diverse, accessible, and high quality. Again, go to our website at kfai.org and hit the donate button. It's quick, it's easy, it's secure. Share the campaign. Help us spread the word. Even if you can't donate, sharing this campaign with others helps us reach more people who believe in the power of community radio. Get involved. Join our iconic team of volunteers and share your expertise with KFAI, passionate people who want to contribute to advancing our mission. Thank you so much for your support. It makes all of the difference, and it's going to keep us here for another 50 years, no question. We're going to continue with our conversation with the one and only Lady J.
With Africa probably being the home continent of the indigenous societies, but every indigenous people practice this. Whether you're talking Lapland, you know, Alaska, the Aborigine tribe in Australia, whether you're talking the First Peoples here in America or the people in Africa, there's a similarity to that form of worship that is all about animism, which is the belief that everything has a soul, and ancestor worship. Those two components are the same all over this globe.
And the drum and the rattle.
And the drum and the rattle. Just depends on how they're used, but that's the intention all over the continent. One is to bring that energy worker, that magic professional, back home. It's their beacon, so they can always find their way back home. And the rattle is the protective device to keep evil or bad or the negative away from that person while they're out of their body and on the astral.
Mm. Tell us about your origins and how this came about for you.
The blues or the book?
Everything.
Well, I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we lived in a space that is now called the Martin Luther King Center in St. Paul. But our house was 732 Carroll. I'll always remember that. We were the renters of a family that lived up over us, the Clarities. I won't forget them either. because as a child, I mean, I come from a seven-member of kids in our family. We're seven of us, and I'm the second oldest. And so all the other kids are the younger kids all under me. And so in putting all the children to bed, Mom and Daddy would go upstairs and join the Clarities for an evening of probably a cocktail, an adult cocktail, an adult conversation. My bedroom, me and Peggy and Barbara, my oldest sister, me, and then the third sister, shared a bedroom that was in the back and off of the kitchen, but it was also underneath their kitchen. And I could hear a particular sound that came through their floor, our ceiling, that I know now was the guitar of Albert King. I grew up knowing the blues as grown folks' music, and children were not encouraged to listen to it, move to it, dance to it, or anything, because it was considered grown people's music, not just because of the lyrics, but because of the rhythm, because of what it made your body do. And I sort of chased that sound my whole life until I discovered what it was. And it's the sound of a guitar first. Then I discovered whose guitar it belonged to, because it wasn't B.B. King and it wasn't Albert Collins. It was Albert King. That, and the way he could do with his hand and make that thing scream or talk. I just loved it. But I didn't know at the time that that's what was driving me deeper and deeper into the music. I loved, as a kid, that was probably the 60s. So I'm growing up in the 70s. And of course, the 70s music is probably the basis for everything that the youngsters are involved in now, whether you want to call it funk or R&B or soul music. I got into that too, but I also knew that it was wonderful music and it made you dance and it made you groove. It made us do a lot of things because both my sons were born in the 1970s. But it wasn't that sound. And so I just kept searching. And I rediscovered the blues.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking with the one and only Lady J, Jackie Maddox. And we're talking about her important book. And we're talking about the important subject of the blues, her book, Root Wisdom, from the Elder's Circle. That was Born Under a Bad Sign, the one and only Albert King. It's so interesting that you had the blues and all of the great music that was happening in the 60s and the 70s. You have become a connoisseur. You are the queen of the blues.
Whoa.
Talk to us about what was that transition for you? As, you know, I mean, I think that one of the biggest misnomers for most folks is that the blues belongs to men somehow, and that women aren't at the center of it. Talk to us about the blues, yourself, and women.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that and bring that up, because you're absolutely right. And I'll tie that into the tribal religious belief system as it had to mutate here in America. But first, I was always interested in astrology and mythology and geography and religion and languages. I mean, I was the geek kid that was always reading these really thick nonfiction books, searching for something. I went to school at a Catholic school as a child, but we went to Baptist church on the weekends. And some of my friends were Jewish. And so that's those three religions competing with one another, or so they want us to believe. I knew there wasn't any competition. Somewhere, the truth was behind all of that. So I always was on that search. In fact, my goal before I became pregnant and had to drop out of college, my goal was to go to college in some kind of way, find my way to the United Nations, because I just knew the answer to everything is sort of not a pan-American or pan-African, but pan-world connection that we all have with one another. And I was going to find it, because for sure, from looking at anthropology, astrology, archaeology, geography, religion, language, martial arts, from looking at all of that, it's all the same belief system. Where does it all overlap? Where does it all come together? And I was always on a search for that. Real life, of course, got in the way with having children that are disabled, and I had to tend to them, and I couldn't finish my college education. But I did continue to read, and I continued to connect the dots. And that's where I discovered that almost every indigenous society uses music in its rites, in its ceremony, in what it does to either find the spirit world, come back out of the spirit world, to affect healing, to affect revenge. Let's just talk about that too. Everything had a musical base to it. And a lot of that music is the same across every continent. And so I started realizing that what I was thinking was quite valid. It was quite valid. And so I had the wonderful opportunity to get into the blues. And some of it is because of the live musicians that I was able to follow along with here in the Twin Cities. My oldest sister, Barbara, was a waitress at some of the St. Paul clubs that are now history, but they're all legend. Whether it was the VFW, known in those days as the V, or the Legion on Rondo. And so I'm 7 years younger than Barbara, but I looked older than her because I was, let's say, more proportioned as an 18-year-old than a 13-year-old. I was only 13. I'm following Barbara to all of these different clubs, falling in love with the sounds that I heard there that were Wee Willie Walker and Big John Dickerson and Billy Holliman and Bobby Lyle and Kenny Horston. That music, being live music, took me into that world, and I started realizing that this is going to sound really dumb, but that music didn't come from nowhere. It had to come from somewhere and get in them. How did it get in them? How did they know how to play? You know, I couldn't figure it out. And it took me longer and longer to look at that. It's like, why is that guy playing that guitar? Why is that guy playing drums? Why? How come? How did it get in them? It had to be there to get out. So I just kept going deeper and deeper. And yes, real life was still there, because I'm still getting married, getting divorced, going through a whole lot of changes, but it wouldn't leave my consciousness. And that may have lent to some of the difficulties I was having, because I wasn't attending as a wife should, you know, as a woman should have to some of the things. You know, I've been married twice, divorced twice. I wasn't attending as I should have, because I'm following a dream or something that if I'd been able to finish my college degree, I probably would be doing that right now. But I was not able to. Instead, I had to take care of my sons, who have hemophilia. And that's quite consuming. They both have it. It's called hemophilia B, and they have an inhibitor, which means that even if they get a transfusion, their bodies fight that transfusion off. And so we've had some challenging times at the hospital. So I had to work a full-time job, see about each one of the kids, and that just, it didn't lend, you know, to me being a full-time wife. But my curiosity stayed. And what I wanted out of the music, where I was going with the magic and the music concept, just would not leave me. It just wouldn't. Until I ended up encountering a blues musician who was a DJ here at KFAI Radio. He and I met, we fell in love and got married. His name was Joel Johnson. His band played regularly at the Viking Bar, which is right across the street. I had an incident. I had something happen to me there. And it was probably what started the divorce between me and him, because he couldn't understand what I was talking about, and he thought I was nuts. And maybe I was. Maybe I was. But it opened up something for me, and I pursued that as well as taking care of my sons, because they were my number one priority. What happened was an epiphany, and I write about it in the book because it was musical, and I was always pursuing these sounds and the magic and reading all of these books, these nonfiction books, and putting all of this stuff together into one thing. This epiphany taught me about the music, that it was alive. Music is living. And that led me down another rabbit hole to the point where I got lost in there. And Joel, who was not a person of color, started feeling like I was fighting against him performing the blues, because my search was taking me into the world of color. And he had a very difficult time with me pursuing what I was doing. Because I, again, remember, I'm not like a college student. I'm just behaving like a college student. And so I even started a record label. And it's still around. It's not viable. I'm not doing much with it. But Diamond Blue Records was my way to reconcile with Joel and use what I understood about the blues to make him feel better. It didn't work. But we produced a hell of a good CD out of that thing. It did. But then we divorced soon after. And then I continued this feeling about the blues. And the deeper I got into it, the more it spoke to me. Now, I know that's going to sound crazy. The blues itself spoke to me. I could hear it in between the notes. I could hear it in between the styles of music. I could hear it, whether it was Delta blues or Chicago blues or Harlem blues or Kansas City blues, Chicago blues, California blues, no matter what kind of blues it was, whether it was T-Bone Walker or Muddy Waters or whether it was Coco Taylor or whether it was B.B. King, it all spoke to me. I could hear something. It was telling me something. And it took me into the Mississippi Delta sound
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Malibu, Friday, March 13th. French composer and vocalist Malibu brings her latest album, Vanities, to the Cedar stage. Loose threads of drone, neoclassical, dance, and pop are woven together to create a tapestry of introspection. Malibu's compositions exist as fragments of imagination, as wide as the sea and as open as the sky. Opening the show is ESP. More information about Malibu is available at thecedar.org.
That was Coco Taylor. I'd rather go blind. Want to remind you that we are in the midst of our spring pledge drive, and your support is so ever so important and helpful. Again, you know as well as I do, this is a critical, critical time for our country and for all of us to support each other so that we can continue the good work that we all started so long ago, individually and as a community. We have to, I think that our only response to darkness could only be light. Let us in fact be that light. KFAI is indeed that light in our community and has been since the 80s. Let us in fact show our support for community radio, our support for things that make sense, things that make our community better, and that's each of us supporting each other on whatever level that you can support our station. Please do go to the KFAI website. That's KFAI.org, and hit the donate button. Let's continue to do that good work that we've all been doing. And let's not let nonsense distract us from the good work that we have always been doing and that we will continue to do. KFAI Community Radio has always been that light in our community. Let's support it. Go to KFAI.org and hit the donate button. We're continuing our conversation with the one and only Lady J.
That connected me to an African sound. And that's when my mind was blown. I was like, blues didn't come out of slavery. Blues didn't come off the plantation. We brought it with us. It came from Africa with us. Okay, Jackie, then what was it in Africa? How were we able to bring it with us? Very analytical. So I had to think about it. It's like, what was the only thing that could not be taken? We were whipped and we were killed and we were traded off and we were maimed. But what was the one thing that could not be taken? Our worship, our form of worship, our form of appealing to the ancestors or to the trees, to the grass, to the wind. Get us back home again. Get us back. That's what the music was for. And we couldn't perform it the way we did in Africa because we didn't have those same instruments, which were fine-tuned in Africa. In America, in the South, we didn't have anything like that, so we had to invent. And boy, did we. We did. If it was just a stomp, hand claps, we created the music again. And remember, we weren't able to speak our own language. Most people didn't realize that. The slaves weren't all, we weren't monolithic. We were from so many different tribes and different dialects and different countries. We couldn't even speak to one another coming across on that boat. We had no idea what the other people were saying. They didn't know what we were saying. We had no clue. Only thing that was the same? Music. The form of worship. The ancestors. Please, get us back home again. In the American South and on the plantation, the memories are still there as well. And the memories of who back home in the motherland could make the magic work everybody still revered that person, even in the South, whether that person was the root doctor, whether that person was and remember, these roles are all truncated because the overseer, the plantation owner, wouldn't allow the slaves to behave in their normal ways, the normal hierarchy, because this slave master had no idea who he was scooping up. And once we got here, some of those roles were still there. They still played out. And some of them were the medicine woman, medicine man, the chieftain, the son of the chiefs. And so those roles were still there. And in the more modern society, chief goes one way and the healer goes the other way. But in indigenous societies, the chieftain is also the head healer. Those two things are one. More likely than not, it was the males. So they were able to make the music. They were able to make the sounds that would call the spirit world. Most people don't know it as anything but voodoo, they want to call it, or across the Northwest Passage, whether it became Santeria or Candomblé, whether you're in Brazil or South America, wherever you were, it's still the same. That African way of life fell behind as the slaves were left behind on all the islands. And in Haiti and the Dominican Republic and all these places, our culture, our way of life, our way of worship was left behind as well. And the men were, as men are, they're a little bit more testy. They didn't believe it, that if they did what they are used to doing, because remember, they're still warriors too. Okay? They didn't understand that they were going to get killed, maimed, shot, hurt, traded. So they're still trying to behave this way and do their spirit worship and be in the role of the leader, which means that they are also taking on the role of the music maker who can make this music. Because if you make the music, you are making the connection to the spirit world. Women were a little smarter just because we didn't want our babies to be taken. We didn't want our breasts cut off, which is what happens. Didn't want the milk all expressed and stolen, which is what happened. So we figured out how to stay quiet about all of that. Men, not so much. A lot of it went underground, just like the Underground Railroad. A lot of the music, a lot of the ways went underground, which is really what voodoo is. The master thought that we were giving in to his ways because it looked like we were going to Catholic Church and praying to St. Barbara and all the other different, St. Anne. But in reality, it was the umbrella for animism, for the spirit worship and ancestor worship that we always practiced. The men, as men are, I mean, they're full of testosterone. They can't be subjugated in quite a few ways. So they just were a little more boisterous about it, and so therefore they were harmed a little more. The women, not so much. So, because a lot of the women were used in other ways. And so not that they were more valued, but they could be, there was a value for them that the overseers and the plantation owners saw for the women that they didn't see for the men. Because once they had either especially reached a certain age and they couldn't carry certain loads anymore, they were of no use anyways. So we don't need to go any deeper with that. And a lot of the women who were pregnant and were carrying babies were considered of value until the baby came. Then they were no longer of value. So back to the whole tie-in, this music that's considered male's music, it comes out of that, mentality. It comes out of that remembrance. It comes out of that way of life on the plantation. That it's not that the blues only belongs to men, but the ability to make magic with the music comes out of that. And the men were just not wise enough to hide it. They didn't want to. Women did. We kind of pulled it in a little bit and kept it to ourselves so we could keep our babies. Because remember, anything of Africa, about Africa, or for Africa had to be whipped out of the slaves or burned or maimed out. So there's no way to talk about it, no way to engage in it. And so the women were just smarter and learned how to hide it. Men are, you know, that testosterone keeps them from hiding anything. And so they were harmed because of it. But that was slavery days. And those that we consider the foundation of the blues, the Sun Houses and Lead Bellies and Charlie Patton, and remember, they're second generation. So their parents would have been the ones who were emancipated during the Emancipation Proclamation. And they grew up hearing about this mystical place back home. Because remember, Africa's a continent. The slaves were probably speaking of it in their home references, which we can't, I can't repeat. I don't even know where home in Africa is. They probably knew their village, you know, where it was located, what part of Africa it was. So they might have been calling it by name. And so the children were only hearing what their parents or grandparents were saying and what the music was for. All of a sudden, to us, it's the heartbeat. But to the slave master and the plantation owner, oh, look at them guys out there dancing. And it might have been a ritual. They might have been trying to call down the ancestors to help them get back home again. But then so-and-so's watching. So we changed to something else. That is where the blues mutated from our home continent, from our motherland, to this new world. Once we realized there was no way back, once we realized we were on a boat crossing not the river, it wasn't across the lake. It went from one world to another world, we're not getting back. So people adapted, and so did a way of worship. So did what we did to worship, which became blues music.
We're going to continue our conversation with Lady J next week, and we'll be talking more about her important book next week. So please tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Again, kfai.org, and hit the donate button. Thank you for listening.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul at onlinekfai.org. And you're listening to.
I mean, this is not the kind of music that comes from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
No.
And you live in Minneapolis, of all places.
Minneapolis, yeah. I will always live in Minneapolis.
You will always live here?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It's so cold, it keeps the bad people out.
Thank you, Minneapolis. We love you. Do me a favor and take care of each other, all right?